Okay, we're going to begin. I think Pastor is a bit better. We saw him yesterday in church. He came for a while. So let's continue to pray for him. Ben Chong's grandfather passed away. I think you all should know by now. So let's remember the family in prayer as they go through this time of bereavement. Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening, we continue to pray for our dear pastor, that, Lord, you will be with him and help him to recover. We pray that you grant him your grace and strength, Lord. We also pray for Ben's family as they go through this time of bereavement. We pray, dear Lord, that you will draw close to them. We pray that your word, Lord, will comfort them. We ask, dear Father, that you, the next few days, will see Bethany ministering to them in a special way. We ask, dear Father, that you will also bless this time, even as we study your word. Bless this time, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, tonight we are going to talk about how God is a God of justice. And this is something that we have been studying quite a bit from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, maybe we can turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And we can see how the people of Israel were meant to appoint judges and officers to judge the people with just judgment. Okay, in 16 and in verse 16. Okay, you will appoint judges. Verse 18, and officers in all your gates, which the Lord your God gives you according to your tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. And that's something that's very important to God, justice. You shall not pervert justice, you shall not show partiality, nor take a bribe. For a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and twists the words of the righteous. Okay, you shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Okay, there must be justice in the land. That's something that God is very concerned about. God is a just God, and his laws are meant to bring about justice. Okay, Deuteronomy 17, and in verse 6, justice is carried out. Whoever is deserving of death shall be put to death on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Okay, he shall not be put to death on the testimony of one witness. Okay, so here we see how justice is meted out, can be carried out. When the judgment is too hard to make, then they are to be brought before the Lord and the priests and the Levites. In verse 8, okay, between one judgment, degrees of guilt for bloodshed, between one judgment or another, or between one punishment or another, matters of controversy within your gates, then you shall arise, go up to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall come to the priests, the Levites, and to the judge. There in those days, inquire of them, and they shall pronounce upon them the sentence of judgment. So this is the Supreme Court. Okay, this is where they will gather and they will deal with hard cases. So God is very concerned with justice. He is concerned how the law is carried out. And the laws of God are far greater than any system of law that they had during then. Okay, it's very advanced, it's far greater. There's a special sense of justice and fairness. Okay, and in the practice of justice, the practice of the law, God had provided what we call cities of refuge. Okay, now that is a very special provision given to perpetrators. Okay, it is an expression of grace given to them. Now, we will explain this as we go along. Okay, because, for example, if a person unintentionally kills someone, what do you do with this person? What does this person do? Okay, in rural India, I was just talking to Simon, and it's true that if someone, here comes a lorry, and the lorry bangs someone from the village, the people from a village can come out and they have mob killing. Okay, they will beat the driver up, and sometimes the person dies. Okay, and the government allows it because that's village law, that's village killing. Okay, justice, so called. And you know, I was talking to Simon, and he was saying that he has heard this many times. Have you seen it yourself? No. Here only, right? Okay, but he has never heard it. In Burma, do you have this as well? You have also, right? Yeah. So this is this kind of village, so-called justice, is carried out in even today. Okay, now, these cities of refuge is meant to stop this kind of so-called justice, mob justice. Okay? And there's no proper legal proceeding when such mob vengeance is carried out. Okay? Now, whether the person is fully at fault or not has to be taken into consideration. And this kind of justice will be meted out bit by bit. But you have what we call the cities of refuge that will... where these perpetrators are allowed to go, okay, to be, and find refuge. Now, let's turn to a few passages to understand this. Okay, let's turn to Exodus 21, verse 13, to... Okay, in verse 12, he who strikes a man so that he dies shall surely be put to death. Okay, that's straightforward. However, if he did not lie in wait, but God delivered him into his hand. Okay, it's not premeditated. God delivered him into his hand, then I will appoint for you a place where you may flee. Okay, so there is this city of refuge. Okay, now let's turn to Numbers 35 now. Numbers 35. Numbers 35, and in verse 9, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. They shall be cities of refuge for you from the avenger, okay, that a manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. Okay, so this is a place of refuge until they are tried. Okay, and of the cities which you give, you shall have six cities of refuge, shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan, and three cities shall appoint in the land of Canaan, which will be cities of refuge. Okay, and this is meant for the stranger, okay, and so on. Now, in verse 22, however, if he pushes him suddenly, without enmity, or throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him so that he dies. Okay? Along the way, accidentally this person throws, the stone hits the person, and the person dies because of that. so that he dies, for he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. Okay? And so the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge where he had fled. And he shall remain there until the death of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. But if the manslayer at any time goes outside the limits of the city of refuge where he fled, then the avenger of blood finds him outside the limits of the city of the refuge, then the avenger of blood kills the manslayer, he is not guilty of his blood. So you got to stay within the city of refuge. You go outside, the avenger, he is waiting for you, he takes his revenge, your blood will not be upon him. Okay, it's very fair. So if you're supposed to stay in the city of refuge, you jolly well stay in the city of refuge. Okay? And then, until the time where the priest who presided over your case, he dies. So it's good to have someone presiding over your case if he's old. He has not much time to live. And he dies, okay. Okay, he can go back. This person can go back to his house. Okay, but you get a young fella, and he said he has a long way more to go. Okay, maybe Stanley will become a judge one day. And wow, you got 30, 40 years. You have to stay in the city of refuge. Okay, so that's the provision. Okay, now we go to go back to Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy 19, we see a further explanation with reference to the city of refuge. Okay, so there's a lot of grace given. A lot of grace given with reference to how to treat these perpetrators. Okay, because, okay, you look at the case, very interesting. In chapter 19, and we read, when the Lord your God has cut off the nations whose land the Lord your God is giving you, and you dispossess them, dwell in the land. Okay. Okay, you shall separate three cities for yourself in the midst of the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. You shall prepare roads for yourself and divide into three parts the territory of your land which the Lord your God is giving you to inherit, that any manslayer may flee there. This is also grace. Provide roads to the city of refuge. Why? Because when when you read the case, very interesting case, the case of the manslayer, verse 4, and this is the case of the manslayer who flees there that he may live. Whoever kills his neighbor unintentionally, not having hated him in time past, as when a man goes to the woods with his neighbor to cut timber, okay, good friends, they take each one an axe, go and cut wood, an afternoon of cutting wood, and his hand swings a stroke with the axe to cut down the tree. So he lifts up the axe, and then the head flies off. Phew. Okay, he never checked properly, the screw didn't screw properly. And then the head flies off, and your friend, Sui Sui, is standing right in front of you. Wow, the axe, boom, hits him in the face. The head slips from the handle, strikes his neighbor so that he dies. He shall flee to one of these cities and live. Okay, so when the person dies and he knows that he has done something that is not right, wrong, so he can flee to these cities. Now, of course, there's a provision of roads. Why? So that he can flee quickly. Okay? You see, sometimes these things can happen in the evening. When the courts are closed. Okay, the village courts, they're not open 24 hours. Right? So sometimes these things happen in the evening, and he has nowhere to go. So what does he do? He he will run to the city of refuge. Okay? And so there's a provision of roads. See, that's grace. So he can run quickly. The avenger cannot, you know, chase after him. Unless, well, the avenger is a Hussein Bolt. But so there is a provision of the roads. And to me, that, wow, that is a very special provision of grace as well. Can you see this? And so here is the case. Okay, it's a very, very, and sometimes these things happen. Sometimes weird killings happen. Like, for example, I was just reading about how there was this man in 520 BC. His name is Draco. He was Draco, and he was from Athens, and he was a very well-liked official. And so one day, when in the theater, everybody was very happy he was there. They all applauded him, and they really liked him because he did a lot of things for Athens. And as an expression of gratitude, they all started throwing their coats on him to give to him, and their hats. And they started throwing, and it became so many. He was overwhelmed by the clothes and the hat. He suffocated to death. You know, and wow. So, wow. You know, sometimes these things happen, right? There was these three people who were playing golf. Anybody play golf? You know? So there was these three people playing golf. And along the way, there was another group in front. And there was this man who was trying to find his ball. He couldn't find his ball. He was trying to look, and this tree got so fed up with this guy, went there, and they started scolding, and they started fighting each other. And this man who was trying to look for his ball, in self-defense, kicked one of them, and the guy had a heart attack, and he died. You know? So, is this person to be blamed? Well, the judge ruled in the end, it is self-defense. And, okay, so it's always good to be patient. Don't need to hurry. The golfer next to you. Anybody play golf here? No, okay, so this doesn't matter. Brandon Lee, do you know Brandon Lee? Bruce Lee's son. Okay, during the filming of the show called The Crow, he was shot to death. Okay, and so there was this guy by the name of Michael Massey, and he was the guy who was holding the gun. Now, the prop guy had earlier, 2 weeks ago, had wanted to get blanks for the gun, but instead of getting blanks, he went to buy live rounds. Okay, and then the prop head took the live rounds, put it in his car. And when they wanted to find blanks, they couldn't find on the set. So they took these live rounds and they modified it. They took out the gunpowder. They left the lead, the front part of the bullet inside. And along the way, one of the lead got dislodged, went into the barrel. One of them. And when they fired the gun, once, twice, the third time, he went into his stomach. They didn't know that he was shot. And until the director called cut, then they saw a pool of blood, then they realized that he has been shot. Wow. So he died. Okay, so after 2 months of investigation, the incident was ruled as an accident. So no criminal charge was filed. Okay, and these things happen. So when these things happen, so for the perpetrator, he has to run. You know, and to me, this is an expression of grace. It's very gracious of God to provide a place of refuge for such perpetrators. Okay. Okay. So now we talk about the avenger of blood. Okay, any questions you want to raise up concerning the cities of refuge? Now, we talk about the Avenger of Blood. Okay, verse 6, we read, okay, lest the Avenger of Blood, while his anger is hot. Now, the perpetrator can run to the refuge because they want to take the time to determine what happened. Did this person kill this neighbor intentionally or unintentionally? Okay? And so they want to determine these things. Okay, so the city of refuge is meant to also protect the perpetrator from the avenger. Because the avenger, in his spur of the moment, in his hot-bloodedness, he wants to, you know, he wants to bring about vengeance. Right? And so, okay, the Avenger of Blood, while his anger is hot, pursue the manslayer, overtake him because of the way is long, kill him, though he was not deserving of death, since he had not hated the victim in time past. Therefore, I command you, you shall separate trees, cities for yourself. Okay? And the issue here is innocent, shedding of innocent blood in the land. Okay? If you kill this person, if the avenger kills this perpetrator and kills him, he's actually killing innocent blood. Okay? Lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land. Can you see this? Okay? So God wants the land to be holy. It's a place where he wants justice. And so one of the problems that later on in Israel when there were the wicked killed innocent blood, you know, they have defiled the land. And that was one of the things that God raised up again and again in the book, in, you know, the prophetic books. Because of the shedding of innocent blood, there is the defiling of the land. Can you see this? Okay, so to prevent this, you have the cities of refuge. They were supposed to run to. Okay? And so this is something that was provided. It was a good provision. And that's something for us to consider. Okay? I was reading another story of how there was this man who was an air traffic controller. And he was not told that the radar, there were certain things about the radar that were spoiled. And when he found out, there were two planes that were hitting to each other. And he only 53 seconds to try to stop the mid-air collision. He couldn't, and they crashed. And there was this man who had the daughter, the son, and the wife on board. Three of them died. Okay, and when, you know, when he saw their bodies, wow, he was really, really angry and upset. Okay, and he blamed this guy. So what he did in the end was that he went to the person's house. Somehow he found out where this person stayed, went to the house and stabbed him. Okay, and he killed him. And so when the judge ruled, the defense ruled that he was not of sound mind. He was in such great emotional stress. And the court at the end of it took that into consideration and gave him a sentence of 8 years jail. And after much appeal, it was reduced to 5 years. Okay? So this is a Russian court. So there's that provision. And so we see the cities of refuge. There is the provision of time and effort from all sides to bring this perpetrator to justice. But it has to be with fairness. It has to be done with grace. Can you see that? So even in God's law, you see, these laws of God were so advanced. No such law existed then. You know, I was just reading Hammurabi's code of law all 260, 80 something of them. Okay, and none of them included this provision of grace. They all basically is eye for an eye. You take an eye, you take someone's eye, he is allowed to take your eye. And it's all about, you know, an eye for an eye, a life for a life. See, so when we look at the spirit of the law, when we understand the spirit of the law, where God is coming from, it is not because, okay, if you take a person's life, then your life has to be given. No, you have to understand the spirit of the law. And in this case, there's provision for grace. There's provision for justice. You know, it's very fair. When we look at how God's laws are brought about. Okay, it's very, very fair. It's only when people take the laws of God in a legalistic way, then you end up with problems. But when you understand the spirit of the law, when you understand how God comes up with his law, God's laws are very, very fair. And they're also with grace. Can you see this? Grace also for a perpetrator. Wow. That is very, very special. And that's something that we want to consider. Okay? At the end of the day, there must be the prevalence of justice. There must be a sense of justice. Okay, you turn with me to Psalm 58. Okay, any questions? Anybody want to raise up? Okay, let's turn to Psalm 58. In Psalm 58, we see how the judges did not do their part. Do you indeed speak righteousness, you silent ones? Now, these are the judges who kept silent when there was murder, when there was problems, when there was sin. They kept silent. Okay, the judges were meant to mete out judgment. They were meant to keep the law. They were meant to uphold justice. But these judges did not. Do you judge uprightly, you sons of men? No, in heart you work wickedness. So these were wicked judges. You weigh out the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged. From the womb, they go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies, and so on. Okay, they will not listen. So we can see how these people did not uphold justice. There was a need for justice, but they kept quiet about it. There was injustice, and yet these judges did not judge uprightly. They work wickedness. Can you see this? Okay. And they had committed, they allowed violence to go unchecked, and so on. Okay. Recently, we have this big circus in the United States about this new Supreme Court justice and how there were so many, you know, there were testimonies against him, things that were done 20, 30 years ago being raised against him. And so this Brett Kavanaugh nomination process was, wow, the last few weeks was crazy. Okay, but finally he was confirmed. And so now the US Supreme Court shifts to the right. And that's very important because the last few decades it has been to the left. Okay, where they have compromised, they have allowed you know, same-sex marriage and so on. So now it shifts to the right. Okay, this is actually why, in many ways, they wanted Trump to be president. Okay? A lot of the Republicans wanted this so that now they can establish so-called things that are righteous and good. Pro-life, you know, one-sex marriage, and so on. Okay? So, to many of the Republicans, this is what they why they voted Trump in. Okay? And this was something that you know, so at least now we have four hard right conservatives in the Supreme Court. Okay, I think there are seven. So now they have four and against three. Okay, more liberal, so-called Supreme Court justice. Okay, any questions you want to raise up concerning this? Okay, now let's go back to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, we read, okay. Now, there's also the provision of blessings in the future. What if the territory increases? So now there's a provision of three more, so there's six altogether. Now, if the Lord your God enlarges your territory, as he swore to your fathers and gives you the land which he promised to give to your fathers, and you will keep all these commandments and do them, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God, to walk always in his ways, then you shall add three more cities for yourself besides these three, lest innocent blood be shed in the midst of your land, which the Lord your God is giving you as inheritance, and the guilt of bloodshed be upon you. Okay, so this is, again, a provision of grace. Great grace that is given. Okay. Now, you turn to Joshua 20. So, in the end, did this was carried out? Was this carried out? Yes. Okay, you turn to Joshua 20, and we can actually see the six cities. Joshua 20, now, the cities of refuge. Okay, verse 1, appoint for yourselves cities of refuge, okay, for which I spoke to you through Moses, that the slayer who kills a person accidentally, unintentionally, shall flee there. They shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. Okay, they shall take him into the city as one of them, give him a place, and he may dwell among them. If the avenger of blood pursues him, he shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him. Okay? And he shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the one who is the high priest in those days. Okay? So they appointed Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, okay. Bazaar, Ramoth Gilead, and Golan. Okay, six cities. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, for the stranger who dwelt among them, whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there, and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. Okay? So this is really, it's really wonderful to see how God will make such provisions of grace to those who will, you know, end up killing someone along the way. And sometimes these things happen. You know, I was in the Air Force. When I was in the Air Force, these two fellows were, three instructors. They were playing golf. This was in Pekan Baru. And while they were playing golf, one of them hit the ball, and the other guy went in front. He told the other guy, go ahead, hit the ball. And so as he was walking in front, this guy hit the ball, and he bunned the ball. Okay, when you bun the ball, it means the ball doesn't go straight, it goes at a curve. And so the ball began to curve towards him, and this guy shouted at him, called his name, he turned around, boom, took out his eye. Okay, and that's it. You see, anything can happen. Accidents can happen. And so from that day onwards, He lost his eye and he couldn't fly anymore. Okay, wow. Then the next time I met this guy, he has a pirate. He had an eye patch. And he was joking, I like being a pirate nowadays. He can still joke about it. That's good, lah. Yeah, but wow, that was really, really, it was challenging, to say the least. Okay, and these things can happen, right? Okay. So possible abuse of the cities of refuge, hatred of the neighbor, slaying of the victim. Okay, and you see, so when the Avenger of Blood goes to the city. Now, it's very interesting. The six cities are also the cities where the Levites stay. Okay? So when the Avenger of Blood comes and he wants to, this guy is staying in your city. I want him. And so the Levites will be there. The priests also will be there. And they will carry out whatever it takes to bring about justice. Can you see that? Okay, so it's interesting to know that these six cities are also the cities that are given to the Levites. Okay? That's an interesting thing. No sparing, no guilt of innocent blood on the nation. And so there are those who will do it with premeditation. They have the intention of killing this person, and so the judge has to judge and bring this person out, leave it to the Avenger of Blood, and this Avenger of Blood can kill this person. Okay, and justice is served. And so God is fair. God is gracious. God is a very, very fair God. So when people say, the laws of Moses old and to me, when you look at the laws of Moses, you see grace. You see righteousness, you see justice, but you also see grace. Grace and truth. Law came through Moses, but grace and truth. So when the Lord Jesus saw the law, he saw righteousness, grace, and truth. Can you see this? And that's something for us to consider. Okay? Okay, any questions? Anybody want to raise up? Okay. Now, what does this got to do with us? Y'all must be asking, right? What does this got to do with us? Nothing. We don't have cities of refuge today. Maybe the church. So we don't have cities of refuge. We have only one city, Singapore. That's it. We can't go to Malacca, or we go to KL, or Indonesia, Sentosa. Okay. So how does this apply to us today? Now, let's turn to Amos. See, to me, what God is more concerned about is justice. Okay? How does this apply to us? The idea of justice. Right? In Amos, we read of how there was no justice in the land of Judah and Israel. Judah despised the law of God, and their lies led them astray. Okay, in chapter 2 and in verse 6, we read of how they sold the righteous for silver. Verse 2, I will not turn away its punishment because they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. How insulting can that be? You sell a person's life for what? A pair of sandals. That is so insulting. That's how the people then regarded the poor. They pen after the dust of the earth, which on the head of the pervert the way of the humble. You see, the humble, what do they do with them? Well, they pervert their way. A man and his father going to the same girl. This is, of course, prostitution, to defile their holy name. Okay? So this was how the people then, how, you know, they went about treating others. Verse chapter 4, verse 1. The cows of Bashan who are in the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, crush the needy. Okay? So that was oppression and so on. Okay? 5 verse 7. We read how they turn justice to wormwood, laid righteousness to rest in the earth. So there was no justice in the land. Can you see this? See, so God is concerned about justice. And this was what he said to the people in chapter 5 and in verse 13. Therefore, the prudent keep silent, afflicting the just, taking bribes. Their sins are mighty, manifold transgressions, verse 12, diverting the poor from justice, again, at the gate. Right? You see, the gate is the place where the judge will sit. It's meant for justice. But they divert the poor from justice at the gate. Therefore, the prudent keep silent at this point, for it's an evil time. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. So that the Lord God of hosts will be with you. As you have spoken, hate evil, love good. Establish justice at the gate. Can you see how important that is? Whether it's for a perpetrator, whether it is for anyone, for the poor, for the humble, for the needy, justice must be meted out. Okay? And it may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. And this was something that we see. The challenge to establish justice. The Lord's focus is on justice, to seek good, not evil, to hate evil. Now, it was very interesting. In Proverbs 8, yesterday I was teaching from Proverbs. Maybe you just turn to that for a while. Hate evil. Okay? Love good but hate evil. Now in Proverbs 8, the fear of the Lord has this idea of hating evil. Proverbs 8 and in verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Can you see that? If we truly have the fear of the Lord, we will hate evil. We pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. We will hate all these things. Can you see this? Yeah, I was telling them also yesterday when I was on a bus to church. And I was sitting in front of these two convent girls. Okay, I wouldn't say, well, maybe not convent, from a mission school. And I tell you, I was shocked. Okay, because I was sitting in front of them, I can't help but listen to their conversation. And they were talking so loud. And these girls, sec 3 or sec 4, were using foul language. Okay, they were using, you know, the four-letter word. And they kept using it again and again and again. They were talking about this boy and no, me, ta, tu. Half the time, I tell you, I was so uncomfortable. I almost wanted to tell the person, hey, you're wearing, what kind of uniform are you wearing? You know, and they kept going, the other girls so joined in, both of them, sec 3, cursing at each other, cursing at the people they're talking about. You know, and there was a prefect sitting next to, on the other side. I almost wanted to go to the prefect. Hey, you deaf, ah? Do something about it. Right, I almost wanted to go to the person and, hey, you are a prefect, shouldn't you do something about it? But maybe it's not in her jurisdiction. It was on a bus, so okay. But I tell you, it was truly perverse mouth. It was horrifying. I must say, I was horrified. And so the fear of the Lord will hate such things. And obviously, these two ladies have no idea what it means to fear the Lord. Okay? And so that was interesting experience. Okay? Now, you turn with me to another passage. Turn with me to Micah 6:8. Now, they all are similar, okay? Very, very similar. Micah 6:8, and we all know that Casey's favorite verse, right? I remember him sharing Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, that but to love, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Now, what is the context? The context is how the Lord has a complaint against his people, contend with Israel. What have I done to you? Verse 3, how have I wearied you? Testify against me. I brought you out from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, counseled, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, okay, that you may know the righteousness of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings? Of course, this is with reference to worship. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? No. At the end of the day, it's your life. It's how you live your life. Right? It's how you walk humbly. And of course, this is a truncated version of Deuteronomy chapter 10. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 talks about how does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep all the commandments of the Lord, which I command you today for your good. Okay? Now, because of the impoverished spiritual state of the people of Israel, God had to summarize this into three things, rather than five things, six things. He summarized it into three things. Now, if you cannot handle these six things, let me give you three things to work with. Okay, can you walk justly? The idea of justly, to walk with justice in mind, to show mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Can you see this? And they were to live lives that are just, merciful, and humble. Okay? Now, one more passage. Hosea 12, verse 6. They're all very similar. Similar in nature. Hosea 12. And in verse 6, we read, Ephraim feeds on the wind and pursues the east wind. They daily increase lies and desolation. The Lord also brings a charge against Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his deeds, he will recompense him. Okay, now how did Jacob come back to God? Now it's very interesting. He took his brother by the heel in the womb and his strength. He struggled with God. Okay? And of course, he's talking about how, you know, he was wrestling with God. Okay? Genesis 17. if I can remember. He struggled with the angel, prevailed. Verse 4, he wept. Now, that's very interesting. That's a very interesting insight to how he struggled with the angel. He wept and sought favor from him. So part of the wrestling, part of the struggle, is that he wept before God. It wasn't a full-on wrestling match. It wasn't. It was humbly weeping before God, seeking his favor. Can you see this? How he wrestled with God, how he struggled with God, with tears. And that's how the Lord also, you know, before he was crucified on the cross, with vehement cries and tears. And so we see Jacob weeping, sought favor from him. Okay, and then later on, he found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts, the Lord in his memorable name. And so, by the help of your God, return. So. That's very important. So. You know, in the same way, let's return to God. Observe mercy and justice. Okay, you know, to me, these two ideas keep coming up again and again and again. Mercy and justice. Observe mercy and justice, grace and truth, right? Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly, right? And these two ideas keeps coming up again and again and again, that we are to show mercy, that we are to do that which is right, just in God's sight, right? And wait on your God continually. Wow. Can you see this? We are to wait upon the Lord continually. Right? And this was Hosea's word. By the help of your God, return. Okay, so the people of Israel, they were meant to return. And how were they supposed to return? Observe, by the help of God. Okay, and this is a very important phrase. By the help of God, we return. If we are far from God, by the help of God, we observe mercy. By the help of God, we observe justice. By the help of God, we learn to wait on God continually. And that's one of the things that, as we studied about Show Me Your Ways, whole idea of waiting upon the Lord. And that's something that Pastor spoke on at the morning worship. And the challenge is to learn how to wait. Okay, and this is something that I've been learning for many years. When I was in school, when I went through a really tough time, I had to wait. Learn how to wait. When I started in the Air Force, 2 years of training. The light at the end of the tunnel is very, very small. You learn to wait. 2 years of waiting. Oh, super stress. Went through 350 over tests. Every day is a test when you fly. Then you learn how to wait. Okay, when you pass out, learn how to wait. You move from one grade to another. Cat D, Cat C, Cat B. Highest is Cat A. So you move. I went all the way to Cat B. 8 years went by. Then, okay, wait upon the Lord to be a pastor. Wait. After being a pastor, now you wait again. You're trying to catch up with pastor, but pastor is always going in front of you. He's 20 years ahead, and he's still going further. And you know, you learn how to wait. You wait upon the Lord continually. And one lesson I've learned the last 30 years is to learn how to wait. To wait patiently, to wait with trust. And as I wait, I learn to observe mercy and justice. I learn to be just. I learn how to be merciful. I learned how to show mercy. You know, one of the best things to do is to show mercy to people. It brings a tremendous sense of uplift to the heart. When you do not know how to show mercy, the heart is always filled with anger, with all kinds of frustration. But the moment you show mercy, all the frustration, all the bad feelings, it all just goes. Because you really appreciate a God who has shown mercy to you. I was just reading a story. And this is a story about a man by the name of Cody Huff. Now, Cody Huff, when he was young, he was born in a family where his father left when he was very young. And then along the way, the mother had to work two jobs. Constantly, when she came back, she physically abused him. When he was 12 years old, he started going on marijuana. Okay, he started smoking marijuana. And by the time he was 14 years old, he left home, went to stay with about 20 over people in a small little place. He started taking this thing called LSD 25. And one day he was caught, went to juvenile home, and he was released, came out, drove someone's car illegally. He was caught, and then he went to a prison for youth. When he was there, he learned everything about the drug trade, about how to make drugs, how to trade drugs, how to do all kinds of things illegally. When he came out, he started his own drug trade. Okay, and he earned thousands of dollars. And then one day, he took heroin. That was a big mistake. So when he started on heroin, he became very addicted to it. And there came a stage where he was taking about 20 packets of heroin a day. Okay, he got so high. And then one day he was caught, went to prison again, came out after 1 year. He met a girl, and she was a nurse. So for a few years he was fine. He became a nurse. When the girl left him, he went back to heroin. He went to Las Vegas, went back to heroin, ended up in jail again. He went in and out of jail. When he came out, he had no money, he had nothing. And one day, he met this lady who needed a nurse, and he looked after her, much older lady, who was a Christian, who shared with him the gospel. And but then along the way, she passed on, and he went back to taking drugs. Lost all his money again. And finally, he had to leave his home, became homeless. So he stayed in a park in Las Vegas. He stayed there for many months. He tried to look for work, tried to wash windows for people, tried to beg for money from people. And people hated him, people shunned him. He became so smelly that even the people staying in the park told him, please go and get a bath. You're so smelly. They could smell him as he walked into the park. And they all shunned him. Even the homeless shunned him. Nobody wanted him. And then one day, one of his friends told him, why don't you go to the church? There's this church there. They'll give you a bath. They'll give you some food. And so he went. And then when he went there, while he was about to take his food, there was this lady by the name of Michelle. And she came. He was sitting there. And she went to him and gave him a hug and told him, Jesus loves you. Wow. That changed his life. because he was so deeply moved, because nobody wanted to be with him. Everybody shunned him. He was so smelly. Nobody wanted to come near him, except for this lady who went to him and gave him a hug and told him for the next 20 minutes, sitting with him, sharing the gospel to him, with him. And he was so deeply moved. He shared about how that was a moment where he felt love for the first time in his life. Just one hug. And he took a bath, went back, he came back. Every day he would come. He wanted to listen to the pastor preach. Every day he would read, and he began to know about the Lord Jesus. And finally, one day, when he was in his park, lying in the dirt, he prayed to God. He told God, "Please save me." And when he got up, he said he was a changed man. No longer did he want drugs. It was very interesting that whole week after that, everybody started offering him drugs. And he kept saying, "No, no, no." And every day he would go back. Every weekend he would volunteer. And finally, they gave him a job, found him a home. And today, he's a pastor. A pastor reaching out to the homeless. And, you know, he would preach to the people who were homeless. They would have a barbecue. And he would say, "You know, it was there that I slept. It was there that I prayed. It was there that I met with God." And it all started because there was one lady who was loving and merciful to this man. You know, when I read this story, I was deeply moved. The person who wrote this book said that, you know, even for me, I would not even go near such a person. And he was deeply rebuked. And it really moved my heart when I read this story. His name is Cody Huff. And today he has a ministry reaching out to the homeless. And I think that's something for us to consider, what it means to show mercy. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. By the help of our God, to return, to observe mercy and justice, and to wait on your God continually. Okay, and so this evening, may our hearts consider what it means to have a God of justice, a God whose laws are supreme and yet righteous and merciful, gracious, a God who oversees all things in our life. And I think our response is to be able to walk humbly with this God, to love mercy, and to do that which is just. Okay? Well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, this evening, we want to pray and thank you for the kind of God that you are. A God who is righteous, a God who is full of justice, and yet a God who is gracious in provision. Thank you for this time that we can study about your laws. Although they may not apply to us directly, they reflect who you are. And we thank you that you are such a gracious God. A God who will uphold righteous and yet gracious in provision. And we pray, dear Father, that even as we look at our lives, help us to also observe mercy and justice. Help us to learn how to wait upon you in all things that we go through in life. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will bless us every step of the way. Thank you for this time So bless us as we leave here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thank you for being here. Good night, and God bless.